Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, I have to tell you, I am really looking forward to talking with both of my guests today. We're going to spend the whole hour on amplifying the brain and connecting with the power of the heart. My second guest today is spiritual explorer, author, and filmmaker Baptiste de Pape. He traveled the world to co-create his new book and film with 18 of today's greatest spiritual thinkers, writers, and scientists. The book and film are both called The Power of the Heart, Finding Your True Purpose in Life. But first, it's impossible to fully open up and connect with your heart if you're suffering from stress. And we have the perfect guest joining us to share how we can not only let go of our stress, but how we can sustain a stress-free life. I think that's something that's elusive for many people. So we're going to learn more with today's guests. And he is Don Joseph Goey. He managed the Department of Psychiatry at Stanford Medical School. He ran a regional emergency medical services system. And for 12 years, he headed an internationally recognized institute that pioneered an approach to managing catastrophic life events. After 6 years directing a think tank focused on integrating breakthroughs in neuroscience and psychology, Don created a model for changing brain structure to extinguish stress reactions and amplify higher brain functioning. He's been on the Today Show, CNN, and NPR, and has been busy doing a lot of radio interviews. And his latest book is called The End of Stress, 4 Steps to Rewire Your Brain. Don Joseph Goey, welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me on.
Very pleased to have you. I think these two topics we're talking about today really integrate well together. And I think both books are excellent. And both of our guests today, I think, complement one another. So let's get rid of our stress, first of all.
Okay.
I read in your book, the American Psychological Association conducts an annual survey on stress that is considered a good barometer for stress. In its most recent survey analysis, the AMA said Americans have a high level of stress, no surprise there, but that we also have ineffective coping mechanisms that appear ingrained in our culture. This perpetuates unhealthy lifestyles and behaviors for future generations. Just comment on that for us, if you would, please.
Well, you know, if you talk to a corporate executive, oftentimes you talk to them about stress. You may hear them say, stress is good. You know, I use stress to motivate people. It gets them going. It pushes them out the door, gets them dealing with the problems that they have to deal with. And, you know, stress can provide an initial jolt that does, you know, get us off our chair and moving forward. But all too often what happens is that jolt turns into stress, turns into anxiety, turns into worry, turns into overwhelm, particularly as new things are added to our to-do list. And we cross the line. We cross, you know, the meter goes to the danger point. And when the meter goes to the danger point, what that means is that our system, our brain, our adrenal system is dumping stress hormones to a pernicious amount into our bloodstream, and those stress hormones, when they're being dumped on a chronic basis, they create havoc. They shrink the higher brain networks that we need to perform at a high level, to have the fluid and emotional and social intelligence that you need to succeed. It switches your emotional set point to negative, locking you into fight, flight, or freeze reactions. In other words, anger, anxiety, overwhelm, and bottoming out is depression by the end of the day. And then on top of that, these stress hormones over a period of time, they do serious damage to our cardiovascular system. You know, they're behind heart attacks. Mm-hmm. They damage our chromosomes. Our chromosomes are what repairs our body. And as they get damaged by these stress hormones, what happens is we prematurely age. Those chromosomes, instead of putting out healthy cells, they put out cancer cells. And, you know, our health is serious at risk.
Right.
It impairs our immune system, dampens it way down. It kills brain cells, and it eventually will kill us.
Right.
And where it circles back to are having poor coping mechanisms with stress really has to do with a pattern that we have, not just in America, in all the industrialized countries, a pattern that we have. We think our way into all kinds of stressful events purely in our heads that excite these upsetting emotions that create a perception of threat, often when none is actually present, that propel our mind, our body, our brain into an uproar. And when it happens over a period of time, we get the result that the unfortunate result that I just mentioned. And the good news is that we get wired for that. Over a period of time, we get wired that the stress gene gets amplified, makes for a hyperactive stress response system. We have these knee-jerk stress reactions that we have a really difficult time controlling. And the good news is, though, we can rewire that brain. We can change the way the stress gene is expressing to bring our stress at a level way down. And as we do that and stop, you know, dumping all these stress hormones into our bloodstream, what ends up happening is a higher brain function that makes us successful, that gives us a good life, that puts more joy into our work, more peace into our day, more harmony into our relationships. Those systems come online, and they start leading the way for us. And it's basically our brain has changed.
Right.
The brain's autopilot has shifted from one that habituates stress reactions to one that doesn't, the one that's now amplifying that intelligence and realizing that higher potential that we all possess.
Right.
And that's the good news.
That is the good news.
We can rewire that brain.
That is the good news, because so many people wear it like a badge of honor, and we really need to change that way of thinking. And, you know, I just want to share with listeners that, you know, you don't just have the clinical, the professional, the educational background. I mean, you went through it yourself. You were, you had a high-powered, stressful job at Stanford. You weren't getting on with your boss. He fired you. 9 days later, I read you were diagnosed with a brain tumor. Your marriage was in trouble. You've got 4 children. You've got a mortgage. I mean, you've been through it yourself and turned it around.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I was, my boss and I, as you said, we were not seeing eye to eye. That was about 30 years ago. I was kind of a young Turk. And for 2 years, we disagreed on how to solve the department's big problems. And after 2 years, he got enough and he fired me. And 9 days later, I got diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I had about 6 weeks before I had to report for surgery. And that was the first 2 weeks of that was just pure hell. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd go to the window, look out into the cold, dark night. And I would consider, you know, the disabilities that the surgeon was predicting for me were very serious disabilities. I couldn't imagine that I would get another job. I thought my family's going to end up in the poorhouse. And every day that fear would grow more and more and more until it was terrorizing me. And this one night I went to the window, looked out into that cold, dark night, and I asked myself, you know, what was worse, the problems, the serious problems I faced out there in the future that I didn't know how it was going to turn out, although the prediction wasn't too happy, I still didn't know how it was going to turn out, or the enormous amount of fear and stress that I was experiencing every day, all day long.
Mm.
And I finally decided that this fear and stress that I was under, it was the worst part of it, and it was actually the only part that I controlled. And I began to practice, right there, as I looked out that window, I began to practice calming down and letting go of these fearful thoughts that I was thinking, and letting go of this gloom and doom that I was predicting for myself, just completely letting it go out of hand, and letting my mind relax, and letting my field of vision clear from all of those dark images. And I found that as I did that, as I monitored my thoughts by letting go of those fearful thoughts, I actually did begin to calm down. And about 20 minutes later, I actually had the first experience of peace that I had had in weeks. And when I looked out that window, the world that I was seeing out there had actually changed. It was a beautiful moonlit night, almost seemed like a sacred night. And I made up my mind at that point that as I faced this surgery, I faced this problem of being out of work, whatever I had to face each and every day, I was going to make this commitment to be at peace.
Right.
And to move through things in that way in which I was choosing my attitude, my way of relating to things, to be more peaceful, more open, more optimistic, more creative in my thinking, less pessimistic, that kind of thing. And I found I could do it.
Right.
You know, people often say, you know, when you have a real serious problem, being at peace is really hard. Well, actually, the reverse is true. Being afraid, being stressed, being overwhelmed, that's what's really, really hard.
Yeah, that's
peace
not...
Peace actually begins to make things simple.
That's not a good place to be. We need to take a quick break, Don. When we come back, I want to ask you how you found that peace, because your book is The End of Stress, Four Steps to Rewire Your Brain. And they're quite simple steps. And the thing I like about your book, you say in there, it's not a book just to be read from, you know, start to finish. It's a book that actually guides you along. You can use it as your own, your companion, if you will, on this journey. But we'll find out more about that in a moment. We do need to take a quick break. And my guest is Don Joseph Goey. His book is The End of Stress, and you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
What transforms you?
So this is a life-changing technology.
Pick a dream bigger than a lifetime. That way you always have something to do.
This, I believe, is the single most important question.
Isn't that why you're here? To have your mind blown by at least one idea worth spreading?
Join TEDx Rainier and KCTS as we explore the known and the unknown. November 22nd at McCaw Hall in Seattle from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Purchase tickets online at TEDxRainier.com.
Let's see if I guess that... this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing. Writing it, another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you, at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky at VickySt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicky and her work at VickySt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural, alternative talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and very pleased to have Don Joseph Goey on the phone with us today talking about the end of stress. I've certainly had my share of stress over the last couple of weeks, so I'm very pleased to be talking with Don today about how we can end that, how we can, he has four steps to rewire your brain. And one of the things we talked about before we went to break was peace and how you used peace to replace fear, because that fear place is just the worst place to be in. It's so stressful. It just adds, it compounds. But I'd like you to just define what you mean by peace, because for some people, you know, it would be having the kids out of the house for a couple of hours.
For sure. For a lot of people, the idea of peace seems to be some form of complacency or, you know, nice sentiment on a holiday card, but it's a brain state. It's a very powerful brain state. It's achieving what in the military they call the calm under siege. It's that calm under siege that relates to a problem fearlessly. You know, stress is fear. Biologically, it takes some form of fear to set off a stress reaction. So this calm under siege that we call peace is able to relate to a problem fearlessly, able to analyze it intelligently. Stress hormones aren't dampening down your intelligence. It's then engaging that problem creatively and optimistically. You know, when you're being creative with a problem, you become optimistic. You know, those kind of positive feelings that come up when we're engaging something creatively. And out of that, you put yourself in position to make the best possible decision or take the best course of action that's available to you at that moment, instead of some knee-jerk stress reaction that makes a mistake. You know, the greater the stress we have, the more likely we are to make bad decisions. So this is the opposite of that.
Right.
So that's peace as a brain state.
So you say actualizing peace for you is not a to-do list, but a to-be list. I wonder if you'd talk about that a little.
Right. Well, there's a to-be list that we develop in the book that we have people develop that really has to do with making different choices. So the first step in the book is bringing into awareness your pattern of stress, your particular way of stressing. And we show you how to do that. And what happens when we do that is that awareness literally begins to slow down the stress reactions that we're having. It actually has a structural change within the brain that brings on a system that ends fear conditioning, or at least extinguishes fear reactions. So now through awareness, you're beginning to calm down that knee-jerk stress reaction, and now you're getting to choice. And then from there we move to, well, now that I'm at choice, what are the choices I need to make that are going to keep these stress reactions down and are going to amplify this higher brain function that makes me smart, makes me more successful, makes me more skillful in my relationships and the way I go about life. And that's forming a to-be list. And, you know, the to-be list couldn't be simpler. It's such things as letting go of fear, learning how to let go of fear when it raises this ugly head, letting go of worried thoughts. You know, 85% of what we worry about never happens. Mm-hmm. Studies found that.
Isn't that
having faith in ourselves, in our intentions, in our abilities, and trusting the process as it moves forward, you know, being fluid with the process as we as we work through a problem toward a solution. It's refuting all those worried, stressful thoughts. And then in terms of our relationships, you know, it's learning to listen better to people, judging people less, forgiving more, a number of things like that. And what happens is as we use proven tools that increase these strengths, they eventually form into an attitude. They galvanize into what's called a neuroplastic attitude. In other words, it's the attitude that changes your brain. And the way in which it changes your brain is that it replaces that habit, that knee-jerk stress reaction habit, with a habit of making these choices instead. And so now your brain is working with you instead of against you as you move forward into your life.
Mm. You talk in the book about how the amygdala in the brain can associate something in the present that's happening with a, you know, forgotten memory in the back of our head sometimes, which can exacerbate the situation. How do we make that connection there? Because I was actually thinking a lot about that after I read that. And I thought that you mentioned in the book that you were uncharacteristically rude to a woman, a speaker, because she reminded you of somebody else, but you didn't make that connection at the time.
Right, yes. Actually, that was a client of mine who had that reaction. You know, in psychology, we have this term that says, I'm never upset for the reason I think.
Mm.
And that's because a lot of the times we're reacting to things based on emotional memory. You know, when you have had a traumatic event, it gets stored way back in your emotional brain. And the next time something that approximates that situation in which you were traumatized, something approximated begins to look like it, that your emotional memory flashes and it puts you on guard. And then you become defensive or reactive in that situation, but it may be completely inappropriate to that situation. So in this story that you were just talking about, this gentleman was in a meeting with a woman. She was presenting a plan that she'd been hired to develop, and he was really rude to her. He didn't let her finish. He treated her like she was stupid. And he wasn't a man who was like that all the time. People in the meeting didn't understand why he was behaving that way.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, during a coaching session, we uncovered that woman bore a very close likeness to somebody who had caused him a great deal of pain years ago in his life, but he was unconscious of it at that time, at that meeting. He was reacting from that emotional brain. So one of the things when we find ourselves in a situation where we're beginning to get reactive, we're beginning to judge somebody that we don't know very well, or we're beginning to respond to a situation in a way that's really kind of not appropriate to the situation, we can sense that. Rather than letting that reaction go forward, we can step back and say, you know, I may be upset here for a reason I'm not quite aware of. Maybe I should just hang back and figure this thing out later. And it keeps us out of trouble.
Yeah, but pause before reacting. Yeah, definitely.
So it's allowing those things to come into awareness and beginning to understand there are unconscious forces that are attached to our stress response system that are there to protect us, that actually have a way of undermining us, like it did that gentleman in that meeting.
You only have a couple of minutes left here, Don, but I want to just look at the power of suggestion. We get what we expect. So talk to us about that in relation to your four steps to ending stress.
Well, that has to do with people who... That really has to do with the way in which our brain eventually organizes and gives us experiences that we want. It's called the old thing that was the placebo effect, and now it's been broadened to cover a lot more. For example, there were these people in a hotel. They were the people who cleaned up the rooms. Most of them were overweight, but they were putting out the same amount of exertion that somebody who was doing serious aerobic exercises. So, but these people, when they went in and they talked to these people and investigated, you know, what their thought process was about the work, they didn't think that their work, the exercise, the energy that they exerted in their work actually had anything to do with weight loss. And as soon as they straightened that out in their thinking, these people began to lose weight. In the control group, where these people didn't change their thinking at all, they continued to remain overweight. Well, what had changed? Nothing had changed. The amount of exercise they were putting out hadn't changed. What had changed is their mind had changed, sending a different signal to their brain that activated a physiological process that allowed them to lose weight. So it comes back to our brain is really powerful, and our brain follows the direction that our mind gives it. So it's our mental state that's really important here. And to the degree, you know, our mental state controls that biological environment that we call our body. It, our mental state can change the disease process if we're sick. I mean, that's definitive now within medical science. And our mental state can change our brain.
Right.
It can change our brain's autopilot from one that habituates stress reactions to one that doesn't.
So give me one
and
tip.
So that's what my book is about, is giving people tools.
Yes.
That allow them to begin to take charge, for them to begin to develop the mindset that changes their brain to give them that good life, a life in which they're doing well, they're being well, on their way to flourishing.
So we're right at the end of our segment now. So if you could just very quickly share, you know, what is one tip today that we can start taking to sustain a reduced level of stress in our life?
Okay, so if you find yourself today thinking stressfully, thinking fearfully, thinking pessimistically, I want you to use the clear button. And what you do is you imagine that there's a button at the center of your palm, and you press it. And as you press it, you're going to count to three, and you're going to think of each number as a color. So you breathe in, you count one, you think red. You breathe in, you count two, you think blue. You breathe in, you count three, you think green. And as you exhale from that third breath, you let your mind go completely blank for a moment. And what's that? What you've done is you've collapsed a thought process that was moving you in the direction of anxiety and stress, and moving you towards that, crossing that line in which stress hormones are going to start getting dumped into your system and debilitating higher brain function.
Excellent.
Called the clear button.
Excellent. The clear button. I love it. Don Joseph Goey, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And, of course, his book, again, is called The End of Stress, Four Steps to Rewire Your Brain. And as I said earlier, this isn't just a book that you just read and, you know, put aside. This is a book that will actually walk you through that journey and help you sustain it. So, again, The End of Stress, Four Steps to Rewire Your Brain. Please do stay tuned. We will be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Maybe I just want to stay, just take it easy, cause there's no stress. I know it's not enough for crime, something special in my mind. Nothing's gonna cause me distress. I text my baby on her phone, trying to get her sexy body home. That's the way I want to spend my day. Got to find another...
What transforms you?
So this is a life-changing technology.
Pick a dream bigger than a lifetime. That way you always have something to do.
This, I believe, is the single most important question.
Isn't that why you're here? To have your mind blown by at least one idea worth spreading?
Join TEDx Rainier and KCTS as we explore the known and the unknown. November 22nd at McCaw Hall in Seattle from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Purchase tickets online at TEDxRainier.com.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
This is Martha Norwalk, every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. Thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 16th, it's Vet Sunday with our favorite vet, Dr. Bill Burlingame, in the studio. We'll have open phone lines throughout the show for your animal medical care questions. Plus, there's so much to talk about with Dr. Bill, like the incredible healing work he's doing with cold laser and the latest shockwave therapy. Plan to join us, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk. AM 1150.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Find out about upcoming shows at conversationslive.net.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I don't want to work today. Maybe I just want to stay. Just take it easy because there's no stress. I know it's not enough for crime. Something special in my mind. Nothing's gonna cause me distress.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And in this segment, we're going to talk about the power of the heart, finding your true purpose in life with Baptiste the Pape. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He is a lawyer turned author and filmmaker. He traveled the globe to interview the world's greatest teachers, writers, thinkers, scientists, for the quotes in this book, film in the book of the same name, The Power of the Heart. And I'm going to bring him straight on and we can talk to him directly. Baptiste de Pape, welcome.
Well, thank you, Vicky. Thank you for having me on your show.
Such a pleasure, because I really love this book. And I was telling you that before we started, and you went, well, the book is all about love. But it's full of great information, great wisdom, but it's also beautifully designed and in full color, which, you know, is the kind of book I'm going to have on my shelf for the rest of my days. And I think it makes a wonderful gift book. But it's got substance in it, too, which is what I'm all about, substance. So let's just begin a little, Baptiste, with your background, because, as I mentioned, you're a lawyer, and I don't know what it is about lawyers and why they all turn author, but I've interviewed so many people in law who've turned author at some point in their life, and you were waiting on this, you had a contract, you were waiting to sign it for this offer with a law firm, and something was just holding you back there. Tell us about that time in your life.
Yes, this is an international law firm, and I just knew that if I was going to sign this, that I would be working 7 days per week. And I don't mind doing that, but if your heart's not in it, they say, then maybe you shouldn't do it. But it just didn't feel right. And I if I'm going to make the decision to sign this contract, then I have to go for it. I really felt I had to go for it. And then I realized, okay, if I don't want to do this, what do I want to do with my life? And I couldn't figure it out by thinking. And I was one night I couldn't sleep. And I turned on my laptop and I saw an interview that was a web class. And it was an interview, and Oprah was in conversation with Eckhart Tolle in this interview. And Oprah said something that changed my life. She said, I think there's nothing more important than finding your purpose in life. And I was, oh my God, this is exactly what I'm looking for, my purpose in life. And Eckhart replied, he said, if you want to find your purpose in life, then it's okay to ask, what do I want from life? But a more powerful question would be, what does life want from me? And of course, I was very receptive at that moment. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'm going to try this. And the next morning, I went into the park and I was walking. And I was meditating on this question while I was walking. And I asked myself, what does life want from me? What does life want from me? What does life want from me? And I was doing this for over an hour. And nothing happened. And I thought, oh, this doesn't work. But of course, I was impatient.
Right, right.
Then all of a sudden, it started to rain. And I forgot about the questions because I was just thinking, okay, where am I going to hide from all this rain? And then I found a spot under the trees. And while I was standing there, my heart, it felt like there was a bone in my heart and it broke open.
And it was strange because I know there are no bones in the heart area, but I just felt that, you know, there was a bone in my heart and it broke open. And all of a sudden, I just knew. I had an overwhelming feeling. It was an overwhelming emotion and overwhelming energy. And it said, okay, you should make a movie about the power of the heart. And, of course, it didn't make any sense from my mind's perspective because I had no experience in film production and I really had no knowledge about the heart. But the feeling was so powerful and felt like coming home. So that's what I decided to do. I was just happy. I went home. I took a hot bath and I was lying there and I was so happy. I said, oh, finally, I know what I should do with my life. But then, of course, all the challenges start because you have to tell your parents and your friends and your family and everyone thinks you've gone crazy. So it was not an easy journey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you say, I've heard you say several times, you know, follow that which makes you feel really alive. And this was your feeling alive for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you say also that you knew nothing about film. But that actually worked to your advantage in many ways, you say, because you had to heavily rely on your intuition, which is what, you know, you were coming into.
Yeah, you've been doing your research. Yes, I think it was actually an advantage that I had to, I had no experience and no infrastructure because it forced me to rely on my intuition because, you know, you have nothing else to rely on. And I think that's you know, if I had the experience, maybe I wouldn't have reached what I've reached now. So I, looking back on it, I think it was an advantage that I had no experience.
Mm.
And I have to say, I mean, of course, I tried to speak with film producers in Amsterdam, and I noticed that they didn't want to speak with me because, you know, they said he's a lawyer and he wants to make a movie about the heart. And basically they said, you know, it's impossible. And I realized, okay, I have to find someone else to speak to. And I said, if the film producers don't want to speak with me, then maybe I should talk to retired film producers. So I found a retired film producer. And, you know, they have, you know, he had time and he said, okay, if you buy me a cup of coffee, then I'll talk to you. And that's really how it started.
Right. And so for the most part, I think it's true to say that we don't live in a heart-based society. You know, we have, I think, here in Seattle, more enlightened listeners maybe than some parts of the world. But I think for the most part, we don't live in a heart-based society.
That's true.
And you say that definitely knowledge of the heart doesn't get the attention it deserves. So tell me what a heart-based society means to you.
A heart-based society. Well, I would like to say one thing. When I started this journey, I was looking at it from a very personal point of view. And then what I mean by that is this. I was saying, okay, if I'm going to live from the heart, how does that influence my life? And especially on the areas that are really important to me, health, relationships, money, and career. So that was my intention when I started to interview all the people I've interviewed. But they said to me, listen, it's okay if you start living from the heart and use that wisdom and intelligence to improve your personal life, but it's also going to influence the bigger picture. It's also going to influence humanity if there's a bigger group and this group is starting to live from the heart and it grows, then we'll have a different society. And I think the heart works like this. If you are on a river, then and you're on a boat on a river, then your head can only see the next turn on the river, but your heart can see the whole river from source to sea. So what mm-hmm. does this mean for your question? It means that the heart always takes into account the bigger picture. The heart always thinks, okay, how can we create a win-win situation? The heart always works from the intentions of harmony, compassion, reverence for life. So I think if we start working from that heart space, then we will not look at, okay, how is this going to influence the next shareholders meeting? But it's going to be more like, how is this going to be good for humanity? How is this going to be good for the world? How is this going to be good for everyone? So you don't start to live from the individual perspective, but from a collective perspective. I think that's what a heart-based society would look like.
Right. One of the in the book you have 18 co-creators, you call them, who shared quotes and wisdom with you. You interviewed them for the book, and you also did your own narrative throughout the book too. Dr. Jane Goodall, I was so pleased to see her in there because I think she's a wonderful human being. I've interviewed her several times, and she is exactly what you see, and she definitely walks her talk.
Yes, what you see is what you get with her.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things that she stressed in the book was that, one person can make a difference. We have to work on ourselves first, of course, but one person can make a difference.
Yes.
Talk to us about your perspective on that, if you would.
Yes, well, these are not my words, but someone I've interviewed said, of course, one person can make a difference. And this is what she said. So, again, those are not my words. She said, Adolf Hitler was only one person. Martin Luther King was only one person. Mother Teresa was only one person. Nelson Mandela was only one person. And she's true. I mean, it's true.
Right.
It's true. She's right. You know? And I think we have to think about that. And if you look at the circumstances of the people I've mentioned, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi also, they have been through injustice. They have been through, you know, a lot of challenges, but still they chose to work from love. So I think that's the answer. I mean, what are you going to choose? And you have an influence because it has a ripple effect. If you decide to live from the heart in a very consistent way, then it will have a ripple effect on other people because people will notice.
Right.
And people will feel it. And it's the same thing. I mean, if someone is talking to you and this person is talking to you from your head, what will happen? Nothing. There's a saying in the Torah, words that come from the heart touch the heart. That's why all great entrepreneurs, all great leaders speak from their heart and work from their heart, and we all recognize them. And if there are leaders who are not working from the heart, we also feel it. And we don't want to follow them, and we think they're not in their integrity. We just feel it.
Right, right, definitely. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. My guest is Baptiste Depape. His book is called The Power of the Heart, Finding Your True Purpose in Life. And this is going on my favorite bookshelf. We'll be right back.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Baptiste Depape. His book is called The Power of the Heart, Finding Your True Purpose in Life. And there is a film of the same name, The Power of the Heart. The book is just the most beautiful book. And I wanted to ask you, Baptiste, you say the heart is the temple of our soul, where our soul lives.
Yes, it's the seat of our soul, yes.
And Paulo Coelho says to connect with our heart, we need to become a child. Talk to us about that, if you would.
Yeah, he's talking about the hidden child inside. Well, Paulo Coelho says this. He says, we have a child inside us, and this child is talking to us all the time. But he says, because we are grown-ups, we say to the child, to our own inner child, I mean, this is what Paulo says. He says, shut up. I'm not going to listen to you. And then we think the child forgets about us. But he says, no, the child will come back every time when it finds a window. And eventually, he says, the child will be there on the day we die. And it will come to us and it will say, why didn't you listen to me? And he says, your answer will be your heaven or your hell. And I think it's true. I think we all have this inner child. We all have this child inside us who knows what we want to do, who knows what our purpose is, but we are just afraid to listen. And that's when I think the heart comes in and courage comes in because, you know, the word courage is derived from the French word cœur. And it's already there. Courage and heart are really one and the same thing, but you need courage to listen to your heart, and you need to make that conscious decision.
Right. Mark Nepo, one of the books, co-creators in the book, says the longest walk you'll ever take is from the head to the heart. And
yes.
One of the things you talked about was that most of the people you interviewed went through a major crisis before
yes.
connecting to the heart. So,
yes.
you know, I'm assuming that you hope with this book and the film that people can get that connection to the heart without having to wait for that major crisis.
Well, it's like this. I would like to say two things about this. All the people I've interviewed, most of them, but really most of them, they tried to live the conventional way. They went to school. They had, you know, conventional education. But then, all of a sudden, a big crisis occurs in their life. And what happens? Their conventional skills don't work anymore, and they have to tap into something bigger. So they're just they ran out of resources and they need to find something bigger. And then they go inside and they tune into the wisdom and intelligence of the heart. I think that's what's happening with them. And what was your question again? Because I forgot what your question was.
Well, I just said that that you hope. I'm assuming that you made this film and the book to, you know, try and help people avoid going through that crisis. To be able
to
connect
thing I
before.
To say about this. This is what I noticed. I'm traveling the world. I was just in Germany and France to promote this book. There are, you know, hundreds of people, you know, at all the venues I am right now. They're coming to me. They're crying. And they are just thirsty for this.
Right.
And I don't have to say a word. They just want to read this. They just want to have this. And then on the other hand, there are people who are not open to this. They say, well, power of the heart, it doesn't resonate with me. And I think that's okay. I think, you know, when the teacher, when the student is ready, the teacher comes. And I think it's also with information. If you are in a desert, and you didn't have water for a long time, and I come to you, you're not going to say, oh, is it sparkling water? You just want it, you know?
Right.
And I
right.
think it's the same with this knowledge. If you are drawn to this, then you want to have it. If you're not drawn to this, if you don't feel this energetic pull, okay, then it's okay too, you know? And I'm not going to say to people, oh, you should buy this or you should read this. I think if you're drawn to it, you know, investigate it and explore it and you know, buy the book and buy the movie. If you don't feel the resonance, if you don't feel this energetic pull, if you don't feel an aliveness calling you, and if you don't feel an aliveness that's saying, oh my God, you should check this out, then okay, it's not for you.
Right. I think that's a great thing that you just said, because so many people, I feel, try to intimidate other people into their way of thinking by saying, well, if you don't agree with me, it's because you're not evolved enough, or yeah. You just, you know, you're not ready yet, in a very negative way. And I think it should be about exploration and finding what works for us.
Yes, my only role is to say, hey, this is available, and if you resonate with it, you're welcome to, you know, to buy the book and to check it out and to watch the movie. So that's, I think, the best way.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're not into it, it's good too.
Right.
I love you too. I mean, yes.
So I want to talk, I wish we had more time, but we're coming to the end of our segment. So I want to talk about money and career, because you do address that in here.
Yes.
Because it is an important part of life. And
yes.
So where does the heart fit into money and career? Or maybe where does career and money fit into the power of the heart?
Well, I think it's really important if you ask someone, if someone is telling you, I want to make more money, then an important question would be, why do you want to make more money? Is it to help someone out? Is it for yourself? And I think it's really important. Eckhart Tolle says it beautifully. He says, know that if your only intention is to make more money, know that you are disconnected from your heart. Know that you are disconnected from your higher self. And Jim Carrey, he says it beautifully. He says, you know, I wish everyone could become rich and famous. Then they would know that it's not the answer. In other words, then they would know it's not fulfilling.
Right.
But sometimes we just need to achieve that first, or need to explore that first before we realize it. I think that if you work from the intentions of your heart, then abundance will come to you. But abundance is more than money alone. If you work from the intentions of your heart, then you will find a fulfilling career, because you will work from who you are supposed to be. You will work from your real calling, and then you will have the synchronicities into your life. Then you will have the supporting elements. Then you will meet the right people, because you are on track with your calling.
Right.
Well, I think that's important if we want to make a career choice, that we're not going to do, oh, I want to be a banker or a lawyer because it's going to give me a lot of money, or it's going to give me a lot of, you know, status. No, I mean, you can try it for a while, but you will notice that you will feel drained, that you're not on track.
Right.
And we all notice it. But sometimes we just try to numb the voice, because right. we say, oh, I have a great job and I'm making a lot of money, so why should I even listen? But then a crisis happens, and then you're forced to listen.
Right. Beautiful. So I wanted to, well, we need to end now, but I'm just going to add quickly to that because that was going to be my next question. You say whether you're on the right track is not a question your mind can answer for you. You say
no.
That is a question that if that question's part of your life, your heart is talking to you. And
yes,
we
our
need
mind
to listen.
Is much too limited to answer these questions.
Yeah.
So you can't get there by thinking. You have to follow the aliveness. You really have to follow what makes you come alive. And in order to do that, you have to learn to communicate with your heart. And it's not easy because there is so much distraction. So you, like Jane Goodall, she was in nature. She was first fortunate enough to be in nature all the time. It helped her to connect with her heart. You have to find stillness. You have to get rid of all the distractions because otherwise you won't live your life. You have a life to live, and the heart has the answers, not your parents. And I think the most important message of this book is no one has the answers for you, only your own heart. So
right.
You can listen to all the people and all the gurus, and you can read all the books, but only your heart has the answer. So your most important guru is your own heart. That's what I've learned from interviewing all these inspiring people,
Baptiste.
That only the heart has the answers.
Baptiste, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate that, and that was a really great note to end there. The book is called The Power of the Heart, Finding Your True Purpose in Life, and the movie of the same name, The Power of the Heart. And you can find out more about Baptiste de Pape and his work at thepoweroftheheart.com. There's a great trailer up there that tells you all of the co-creators of this book with Baptiste. Thanks, everyone, for being with us. We need to run. We're right at the end of our session. So we'll see you next week. Until then, live well, live strong.